And this is our number two.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes in the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
Oh, it's a world of news in a tidy little package just for you. Welcome to our Fastest 15 after a tumultuous weekend. Well, not tumultuous, but I'm a wimp. I've had so many people tell me to get a generator since our power was out for 24 hours. I know I'm thinking about it, thinking about the generator. But, man, I don't know. It's a lot of money for something that happens maybe once a year. But, oh, that one time a year, it sure comes in handy. So I'm looking at it. That's all you need to know. I appreciate all the tips that are being given. Now, one of the things that I've been talking about for a long, long time is the last 2.5 years when Jay Inslee had emergency powers. He actually had them for, 900 days of emergency powers. And it was for one reason and one reason only, to see how much we will take. Could we be convinced to stay home for 2 weeks to stop the spread? Yes. Could we be convinced to wear masks? Yes. 2 masks? Yeah, I guess so. Not go to church? Man, we don't like that. Not go to the bars? We really don't like that. Don't go to restaurants. Don't let your kids go to school. Don't let your kids socialize. Don't let your kids see another human face outside of the home. 2-year-olds have never seen a human face outside of their own family as of a few months ago. And on it goes. And I told you what the natural extension of that was going to be. Once we learned that Jay Inslee doesn't have to follow the Constitution when he declares that he has emergency powers, well, then he can do almost anything to us. Now, you may recall, a few months ago in Denver, the government took control of thousands of home thermostats. Now, these were people who said, yeah, if you'll save me 30 or 40 bucks a year, I'll get a smart thermostat. And they didn't think it through. Now, the problem with that is the people who had smart thermostats, the government was able to control them. So when they had a heat wave with temperatures in the 90s, the government controlled the thermostats of hundreds of homes and said, you cannot cool down to anything less than 76. And they're doing the same thing in the wintertime. You can't heat your home anything above 68. The government will decide what your home's temperature is going to be if you choose to give government that kind of power. Now, I bring this up because Jay Inslee has also declared climate emergencies. He says that extraordinary measures must be taken so that Jay Inslee will single-handedly save the planet. It's like he's Mighty Mouse. So Jay Inslee says if he needs to save the planet, maybe he will restrict your ability to charge your car because he wants us all to have electric cars. Now, there are people say, oh, you're just making this up, Monson. Nope. Let me tell you what's happening in Switzerland right now. The people of Switzerland are prepared to spend this winter bored, cold, and trapped at home. And that's because Switzerland says, with so many people owning electric cars now in Switzerland, they are expecting some dramatic energy shortfalls this winter. And so you're not going to be able to heat your home, you're not going to be able to turn on lights, you're not going to be able to drive anywhere. But if you have candles and blankies, well, then you might be okay. Lots of books. But and this, we're talking about one of the wealthiest countries in the world. Switzerland is where people have stashed money for decades. But Switzerland says that they're planning to restrict electric cars from their roads because if they run out of power, EVs will only be allowed out for essential travel. But the restrictions don't end there. According to columnist Stephen Green, who's writing about this, Switzerland's going to have three levels of energy rationing. In the least extreme, most buildings can heat to no more than 68 Fahrenheit, 20 Celsius. People will be asked to limit their washing machines to a maximum water temperature of 104 Fahrenheit, 40 Celsius. If they go to a mid-tier climate emergency or energy emergency, retail stores could find that their hours are reduced by 2 hours every shopping day. They'll have to close 2 hours earlier or open 2 hours later. Most buildings into the middle tier of emergency could heat, including homes, no more than 66 degrees. Some businesses, like nightclubs, they would not be allowed any heat at all. Sports stadiums, they expect are going to be closed in Switzerland this winter. Movie theaters, closed in Switzerland this winter. And they say that, if you're going to stay at home and play video games, gaming consoles and streaming services like Netflix could go on the Swiss verboten list. Things not allowed. You don't think this far away in Washington State, where Jay Inslee's the governor? We've already seen that he wants to do this. We've seen in the United States of America when Denver government took control of the thermostats of thousands of homes. This has been incremental. If somebody had told you 3 years ago to blink your eyes and you'll magically be transported 3 years into the future where homes were told they can't heat and cool and cars are not allowed to go out on the road and they're not allowed to charge, even though government is mandating that you get electric vehicles, you're not going to be allowed to go to church, you're not going to be allowed to go to restaurants or bars, you would have said, get out of here. It's impossible. It's the United States of America. Well, Switzerland had a lot of freedoms too. And for the exact same rationale that Jay Inslee has used, the climate and power restrictions. And what's all this come back to? Well, their ESG score, which some that Jay Inslee talks about ad nauseum, because the World Economic Forum that Jay Inslee has sworn allegiance to, they talk a lot about they want to allocate worldwide resources to countries based on their ESG score, which stands for environmental, social, and governance. And we've seen a bunch of countries that are willing to bankrupt themselves so that they can get a good ESG score. They're willing to starve their people to get a good ESG score. And I guarantee that Jay Inslee would be more than happy to participate in all of these things, if it means mandating electric vehicles and then telling you you cannot drive them. And that's what the last 2.5, 3 years have been all about. It's been a precursor to what is to come if people don't pull their heads out of their sandboxes. All right. And then along the same lines, I saw a study this weekend. We're starting to get some the first empirical information on how COVID anxiety affected the brains of teenagers. And it is just damning. This is columnist Lincoln Brown who wrote this. But what they have seen is that when children missed the normal parts of growing up, socializing, playing sports, doing outside activities, they lost sight of each other's faces. They couldn't see what a human smile looks like. They became more and more isolated. We found out in the latest study, this is from the Washington Post, not exactly some right-wing rag, they quoted a Stanford study. The effects of COVID-19 pandemic on mental health and brain maturation in adolescents. And what they found was they did brain scans over the last few years, and they found heightened depression, heightened anxiety. Our teens' brains have physically aged by approximately 3 years, but they have intellectually not aged at all. So in other words, in the curiosity and intellect that's such a joyful part of exploring this world, adolescents just lost 3 years of their lives. Everything kept getting older except their maturity and their education. It's really, you should go check it out. It's a Stanford study. The headline, Effects of the COVID-19 Pandemic on Mental Health and Brain Maturation in Adolescents. But it just shows that our teens have lost a big chunk of their life. They're more depressed and anxious than ever. They're more depressed. That makes them easier to control, because the easiest people to control are people riddled with anxiety. And we have more anxiety than ever. It's really a shocking, sad story. And by the way, another I told you so, the Center for Disease Control, this came out again over the weekend. They now admit what I've been telling you for months and months now, when I went into the data banks myself, more vaccinated and boosted folks are dying than the unvaccinated. The CDC says, quote, "We can no longer say this is a pandemic of the unvaccinated, because indeed, you're more likely to get COVID if you are vaccinated than if you are unvaccinated." Now, people say, well, it's because a lot more people are vaccinated, so it's a bigger number. But what we found out is that they're dying out of proportion to the vaccination rate. But this is what I've been telling you about King County and Washington State Health. They've refused to answer the question because they've been trying to hide it from the public. But they are lying to the public. They say you're 10 times more likely to die if you're unvaccinated than vaccinated. That number is a lie. I exposed that months ago. They have never once even attempted to refute my numbers, despite many, many, many offers to do so. All right, up next. Oh, Joe Biden was in the news this weekend because he was trying to take a question. He was asked if he's going to help with the upcoming Georgia Senate race, but then he said he's, Here, see if you can make any sense of this at all. Andrew, see if you can pay attention to this, because I might get bored.
Okay.
Do you think there's a risk of generating divisions?
I'll answer the last question, since I didn't hear any of it. I didn't understand a word of it, so I'll answer it. No.
I'm going to take care of it.
Wrong cut, Dory.
Look,
hello?
The United States makes no apology, and I make no apology since I wrote it for the legislation you're talking about. I'm confident. That's my answer.
Nobody knows what he's talking about there. But then there was a follow-up on the Senate races and fundraising.
Are you going to Georgia to help Senator Warnock?
I'm going to Georgia today to help Senator Warren, not to Georgia. I'm going to help Senator Warren today. I'm doing a major fundraiser up in Boston.
Thanks, sir.
Today for the our next and continued Senator candidate and senator.
Oh, I'm sorry. I can't play Biden cuts back to back because it doze off. Hey, Andrew, did you by any chance?
Yep, I'm typing it, up right now.
Other thing. What typewriter are you using today? And they've been really exploring different ones.
Does Remington make a keyboard or a typewriter?
I think Remington, yeah, makes shavers and typewriters, yeah.
Yeah, it's one of those.
Remington, okay. All right, can you read this back to us, please?
Sure, I can, but I need your guys' help here. So, See, Nicole, you're going to be the reporter. Here's your script right here. Let me pull it out real quick. Okay, here you go, Nicole.
Nicole, can you handle the role of the reporter here?
I'm on it.
Okay, yep. Dory, you get to play Buttigieg today.
Oh, man! Why do I always have to be Buttigieg?
Well, we all know how much of a fan you are of Buttigieg, so it's only, fair.
Okay, I'm Buttigieg.
Okay. And
who are you going to play?
Oh, I'm Biden, of course. Who else would I be?
Well, yeah, that's right.
Okay. First positions, everybody. And Action.
When are you going to Georgia to help Senator Warnock?
I'm going to Georgia today to help Senator Warren. Not to Georgia. I'm going to help Senator Warren. I'm doing a major fundraiser up in Boston.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Today for the our next and continued Senate candidate and senator. Cut. That's, okay, that's a wrap.
Hey, is that a wrap?
That's a wrap for sure.
Thanks. All right. Well done, everybody. Hey, Nicole, can you send that, please, to the Murrow Committee?
Yeah, for okay, sure.
Thank you.
On it.
So wait a second. He was asked if he's going to Georgia to help Senator Warnock, and he said that he's going to Boston to help Senator Warren. So what Joe knows is he's going to help some senator who has a W in their name. But then he said that he's going for our next and continued Senate candidate and senator. Well, Elizabeth Warren isn't a Senate candidate, and Warnock is not a senator. Well, I guess he is, but he's temporarily installed. So is he going to help Warren or Warnock? Do
Boston,
we know?
And Boston isn't in Georgia, last time I checked.
No. So he's going to Boston to help Senator Warren with Senator Warnock's Georgia campaign? Is that what we can take away from all this?
I guess so.
Okay. All right, well, that's helpful then. All right, let's see. Oh, that's it for now. I'm going to carry this over. We got so much in the Fast 15. We're going to take this into the next segment. But for now, that is your Fastest 15.
This has been the Fastest 15 Minutes in the News. Fast. Dory's Fastest 15.
You give us 15 minutes, we'll give you the world. Okay, there are people who say that they're getting more vasectomies because they're afraid that abortions are harder to come by. Let me illustrate. I'm going to play some sound bites. I don't mean to, these are normal or local people in the newscast, but they are proving that for a lot of people on the left, they just view vasectomies as another form of birth control. Wait until you hear this audio that's coming up next as the Dory Monson Show rolls on. I saw a story that I found absolutely disgusting because it shows you, especially where some men are on a very important issue. Now, as I always preface, whenever I mention the word abortion, it's a tough radio topic. Nobody ever changes their mind, but society sure has evolved dramatically in the last 10 or 20 years. We used to have a time when politicians said that abortion should be safe, legal, and rare. They would say that all the time, that it's not something we should. I mean, because now you got people who are out in the street partying. They claim they get pregnant just so that they can kill the baby as part of their celebration of independence. And we saw a lot of that after the Supreme Court had the Dobbs ruling this summer. There was a story that our news partners at Cairo 7 did about some local guys who have decided, even though nothing changes in Washington State, Washington State always has been, and not always, but for the recent past and for the foreseeable future, it's a state that is very liberal and is going to allow abortions. But there are a lot of men who were talking to Channel 7, and they were saying that, well, now that the Supreme Court has ruled what it's ruled, they're going to get vasectomies, these men. And here's a little bit. This guy's name is Evan. He tells Cairo 7 that he just doesn't want to have kids.
I've known for most of my adult life that I didn't want to have children.
So in early July, right after the court ruling, he got a vasectomy.
I felt...
Okay, I got to jump in on this. If you know, sir, that you don't want to have kids, why didn't you get the vasectomy before the court ruling this summer on abortions? Is it because you, sir, have always viewed abortion as just a form of birth control? You could have taken care of the vasectomy any time in your life, but you decided you're going to get a vasectomy after the Supreme Court rules on abortions. So you viewed abortion as nothing but birth control. You're going to create a life and then we'll end the life, right? It's just absolutely unbelievable. But this is how so many people think. You know, Hillary Clinton, this used to be her stance.
That is what I have tried to both talk about and reach out about over the last many years, going back really at least 15 years, in talking about abortion being safe, legal, and rare. And by rare, I mean rare.
No, that was 2008, Hillary. But now the man, the enlightened, the progressive man here in Puget Sound area, you just view abortion as a way to control the fact that you didn't get a vasectomy before now? Seriously, how disgusting is that? You know you don't want to have kids. And I don't mean to pick on this one guy. I'm talking about the overall broad concept. You know you don't want to have kids, but you don't get the vasectomy until after the Supreme Court ruling on abortion. So that is how you were always planning to deal with getting a woman pregnant. Is just say, oh, we created the life, let's end the life. When you could have gotten the vasectomy a year ago or 5 years ago or 10 years ago. This tells you just how progressives think on issues like this. Okay, let me go back to the beginning of this cut. Then I'll play the whole thing.
I've known for most of my adult life that I didn't want to have children.
So in early July, right after the court ruling, he got a vasectomy.
I felt like I, you know, had to do something to kind of on my end, you know, but like the burden of an unplanned pregnancy is two people. And I just felt that, you know, it shouldn't fall entirely onto women.
No, you could make it fall entirely onto you if you got the vasectomy when you said shortly after you became an adult. But there's a difference between being over the age of 18 and being an adult. Here's a doctor at Planned Parenthood who talked to Cairo 7 News.
Our vasectomy volume has gone up quite a bit. They are volunteering to me that they have come in because of the Dobbs decisions.
So they were all planning to terminate an unborn child's life because they didn't take care of their own birth control before this. Here's a doctor at the University of Washington.
We've had a greater number of patients who are coming in requesting a vasectomy who do not have children.
Okay, and that's fine. If you don't want children, you shouldn't have children. If you don't want children, you're not going to be a good parent. And by the way, there are some people who don't want children. Surprisingly, they have a child, and they become great parents too. But the odds are, and for the first guy whose soundbite I played, he said, oh, yeah, I should have done this long ago.
Process and procedure was super easy.
Okay, but it was super easy, but he didn't bother to do it until he knew that plus, nothing's changed with abortions in our state. So it hasn't even affected anything for him. But there are an awful lot of men, apparently, who believe that the primary form of birth control should just be create the life, terminate the life. And what immature people they are. Immature at best. But if you don't want to have kids, get the vasectomy before any Supreme Court ruling comes down. We have a bunch of children. We have a bunch of man children running around in our society who have no sense of personal responsibility. And then when they think, well, some outside force may influence my life, so now I'll take responsibility. You should let your personal choices influence your life before outside forces. But we don't have too many adults running around anymore. We got too many people who are just, in my view, incredibly selfish. If that is your primary form of birth control. And, you know, Barack Obama used to say, safe, legal, and incredibly rare. He used the same phrase as Hillary Clinton. And now it's like, oh, no, should we have just our primary form of birth control now? What a sick society we have morphed into here. Okay, quick timeout, and then I've got a lot of other news to get to here, including we've got people very upset because Starbucks now has a tipping option when you pay. Hasn't every business had that for years now? If you don't want to pay, don't feel awkward, just don't pay. But so we'll talk about that and much more straight ahead as the Dory Monson Show rolls on. This is an awfully bizarre story today. Nicole, you go to Starbucks once in a while, don't you?
I do.
You're not the biggest coffee drinker in the world.
Well, I mean, I splurge. I do drink coffee. I love, you know, sugary coffees, but I try to, you know, not get it every day.
I'm the only one in my family who's not a big Starbucks guy. All three of my daughters, my wife, but I saw this. I didn't really understand this because for especially the last 3 years, when I pick up food somewhere, you give them your credit card, and then they hand you the card reader machine. It usually has an option for 10%, 15%, 20% tip, no tip, custom tip. That's pretty standard, isn't it, everywhere?
It is, and in fact, it's pretty standard even in places where it seems very strange that they're asking for a tip. But for sure, it's been standard in coffee shops.
Yeah. I mean, some of the fastest of fast, like I went just a week or so ago. I went to, I think two times in the last month. Once I was at Taco Del Mar, and they ask you for a tip. And, you know, you watch them make your taco, and sometimes if they give you a little extra fat or burrito, I'll give them a little extra tip. And then I got something at Papa Murphy's, and they just throw pizza together, and you cook it yourself. But when I went in there, there's a girl, she looked like she was about 16. She was working there by herself. It just seemed to me it was a weekend. It's kind of nice out. And I was thinking all of her friends would rather be out just having fun. And here's a kid making probably close to minimum wage. And she's all by herself slinging all these pies. And so I gave her a nice tip just because I like to reward good work ethic when I see it. And so, anyway, I was shocked because Starbucks did not have the auto tip machine, apparently. Is that because I never go. Do you know that,
right,
that they never did?
They have it. So when you go, you normally, well, you can scan your app. And so when it does that, it just scans the app and takes it. So it doesn't have that prompt to tip. Now, if you pay before, it does say, would you like to tip? But obviously it's a lot easier to say no because you're not standing in front of the person.
Okay, yeah. And some people feel guilty saying no. The only thing is, if it's a place where they're going to prepare my food and I'm not going to see them, and that's horrible. It's probably way too paranoid. I'm afraid if you don't tip, they might tamper with your food. Is that unreasonable fear on my part?
Well, no, I think that's pretty legit. However, in most of these cases, you don't tip until after your food's already prepared, you know.
Right, but like I said, if it's a place like Taco Del Mar, you watch them prepare the food, and then at the end you decide if you want a tip. But now I'm always afraid, and it's a horrible thing, but when I was down in California a couple weeks ago, I got Uber Eats one night, my wife and I did. And, you know, they asked if you wanted to add something, I thought, besides what you give the driver. I go, it was for the restaurant people. I go, okay. It's just like an insurance policy, so they won't mess with your food. And that's a horrible way to
view it. I don't
think
they find that out until after the order's complete. I think that's very strategic on Uber Eats' part. I think they don't find out until later. But
yeah. Okay, but anyway, back to the story now. So Fox Business has the story. Starbucks has recently rolled out its new tipping system that allows customers who are paying with card to leave the barista a tip on the card. Apparently, most people were giving cash tips, but fewer and fewer people are carrying cash. And now the baristas say it's awkward to ask customers if they're choosing to leave a tip, but they have the option to leave either $1, $2, other amount, or no tip after they've inserted their card to pay for the beverage or baked goods. One person says that he worked at the Starbucks drive-thru window, and he was embarrassed because they're supposed to ask the customers if they want to add a tip.
That is weird. I feel bad for them having to ask. Just turn it and let the customer choose, but having to ask is weird.
It's really resonated, though, because somebody put together a little social media post on Reddit about why the Starbucks tipping system is awkward, and it's gotten 6.7 million views. So this is a topic that everybody seems to be caring about.
It's not a very appropriate way. It's supposed to be like a little extra thank you. You shouldn't be guilted into it, but, you know.
Well, especially, you know, fast food workers now and, you know, CTAC Burien, they're making $19 an hour now. And that's pretty good dough for doing fast food work. So it's not like the olden days where fast food workers were paid substantially less than everybody else. If you're making, you know, the minimum wage in our state, something like $16.70 an hour now, and in some cities it's up to $19 an hour, that ain't bad. And, you know, the other one is always the airport shuttles. If you park at a lot, not, you know, not a SeaTac lot, but a private lot, and then they drive you in. Usually they, you know, some of them are really good and they grab your bags and say, oh, I've got them for you, sir. And then you give them a couple of bucks. But all of them, SeaTac was the first city to pay way above everybody else's minimum wage. So they're making pretty good dough now for driving a van along, too.
It's supposed to be an incentive, right? Like a job well done incentive. But if it's just expected, then it's not an incentive anymore.
Like everything else in my life, it's just a guilt mechanism. Okay, I'd love to hear what you think about all this. Text me, 888-973-CHIRO, 888-973-5476.